I hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind, and it's closer now than it's ever been. I can almost hear the trumpet as Gabriel sounds the call. And at the midnight cry, we'll be going home. I look around me, and I see prophecies fulfilled, and the signs of the times, they're appearing everywhere. I can almost see the Father as he says, "Son, go get my children." Yeah, at the midnight cry,
at that
the bride of Christ shall rise.
Are you looking for that? Are you looking for
when
that?
Jesus steps out on the cloud to call God's children.
The dead in Christ are going to rise. What a day. We'll hear the rest of that later. Hey, welcome. Open Bible Dialogue. Open Bible Telecast also. And what a joy it is to bring you this ministry and hopefully just be a blessing today to wake up a lot of good people. You need to wake up, folks. If you're not in the middle of the book of Revelation, remember last week the broadcast was entitled The Revelation Generation. The Revelation Generation. Now, I'm here to tell you, we are so near the coming of the Lord. I am looking for Him any moment. I hope you are. Now, the broadcast today, we're going to deal with the mark of the Antichrist. The mark of the beast. Are you got that? The mark of the beast. What will that mark entail? What will that mark be? How will people recognize it? How will people know it? Now, let's try to understand what we are dealing with. You need to understand what we're dealing with. We're dealing with a world that's gone berserk. We're dealing with a world that danger is everywhere. I mean everywhere. We're dealing with a world that security is the utmost question in people's mind. Do I ride a plane? Do I go to such and such a city? Do I do this? Do I do that? And it's just a big question about all of it. Security. Identification. I mean, look at the lines at the airports. Why do you think those lines are being allowed? They're getting you ready for some kind of security that you've never been used to. So think about that. Think about even going shopping. Think about going to a ball game, if you do such a thing. Think about all the different things out there and the danger that's everywhere. The danger that's everywhere. And security is utmost important. Now, when we talk about a mark, when we talk about an identification, when you go to the doctor, more and more, they're requiring that you have that little chip in your body so that they have a picture and an understanding of you fully, completely, no danger of the wrong person, no danger of the wrong decision. See, there's just so many things that are in question that I understand how the world is trying to get ready for a universal mark. Now, you hear them talking about a world without borders. Now, how are you going to have a world without borders where anybody anywhere in the world can travel anywhere they please to travel under no restrictions? Do you understand then what it's going to be entailed for security's sake, for security matters? So the world is getting ready for an international mark. I don't think they have a choice. Oh, you say, Reverend Chambers, you're not on that side. No, I'm not. I'm getting ready for the rapture. I'm getting ready to go up with Jesus. But once that rapture takes place, and that one world order, that new world order begins, security will be the utmost question, and they will require an international mark. Now, there's something to this mark more than an international mark. It is a worship. You see, when the rapture takes place and the church is gone, this world will be the world belonging to the devil and to Satan. And he's going to have an antichrist, and he's going to have a false prophet. There's going to be an unholy trinity. And see, when you think about getting ready for that, when worshiping Jesus right now, this past week, I read, and I haven't documented, but I read where the vice president of this United States made the statement. I mean, he was very plain about it. Very plain about it. Being a Christian is a rebuke or a problem with people who are Muslims, with people who are homosexuals, with people who are sodomites, with people who are transgenders, with people who are sexualists and want nothing to do with Christianity, whatever may be their religion. So we Christians, we born again Christians, are actually the worst problem in the world right now, in the minds of a multitude of people. We're the worst problem out there in the minds of a multitude of people. So when the church is gone, the worship of Jesus will not be allowed. Period. Now, it may be that it gets so bad before the rapture that worshiping Jesus is going to be even more costly than it is already. There are many parts of the world, if you're a Christian, you are absolutely, you can expect it. They're going to come looking for you, and they're murdering them by the tens of thousands at different places in our world. Donald Trump has had to say in his presidential discussion that he's going to stop the persecution of Christians around the world. Can he do that? Does that not put him at odds with the new world order that's developing? It sure does. It sure does. I mean, everything that Donald Trump says almost is at odds with this new world order. Will it last? Will he make it to November? Is it possible for him to get elected? What is going to happen? I'm asking more questions than I'm giving answers, and I know that. But we're going to open up the lines, and I'm going to do my best to give you some answers. But I'm here to tell you, the mark of the beast is at the door. And I want to read you something. This is in the book of Revelation, chapter 14. And let's just listen. Let's listen carefully to the Bible. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, "If any man worship the beast, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, right hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented, and he shall be tormented day and night." I'm sorry, he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb of God. And the smoke, now listen, the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. Now do you hear that? And they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth his mark or the mark of his name. Now, somebody says you can get forgiveness for taking the mark of the beast. That is an absolute lie of the devil. Oh, would the devil like for you to believe that? Oh, would the devil like for you to believe that? If you miss the rapture and you take the mark of the beast, you can't buy or sell without it. If you walk in the grocery store, they'll be able to determine the moment you walk in that door that you don't have the right identification. If you go to the doctor, you go to the hospital, even getting on the highway, even buying gas, even buying milk for your babies. I'm telling you, folks, you're talking about a day when you got to worship the devil and take his mark. Now, two things. Don't miss this. Just taking the mark is not all you need. You may be able to take a mark of some kind on your forehead before the rapture. That cannot be the mark of the beast. The mark of the beast has to be the mark of the beast. And so the beast has got to be here. The beast has got to be revealed. The beast has got to be manifest. So worshiping the beast and the devil behind the beast and taking the mark are the two things, the worship and the mark. They go together. If anybody worships that beast and takes that mark, you will be tormented day and night forever and ever. And that Bible said it, I did not. And the smoke of their torment, that's the torment of those who take the mark, ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of the same, or the mark of his name. Now, friends, we're talking about the mark of the beast. We're talking about the technology is absolutely in place. The technology is absolutely adequate. They could start the mark of the beast tomorrow, today. That's how close. Now, you can't have the mark of the beast without the beast. So you got to first have the rapture so that everything technologically is going to continue to get more and more ready. Everything as far as the world control is going to increase and grow by the day and by the hour. Everything of evil and unprecedented darkness and wickedness is only going to expand. You heard this week of some of the protesters at political rallies, how they were spitting on people. They were burning the American flag and waving the Mexican flag in people's faces. Every kind of thing that you could imagine is happening on a growing scale. So, how close are we to the mark of the beast? Now, who is the mark? The mark is a person, an individual, a devil-appointed individual, who will simply show up to rule this world. He'll be a genius. He'll be an evil creature. The Bible makes it clear in Daniel, he'll be a homosexual, a sodomite. That's why you see sodomy and transgender and all that goes with that exploding. It's getting ready for the Antichrist, who will himself be a sodomite and who himself will have no care and no desire for women. That's what the Bible says. Read Daniel chapter 11, verse 37. I'm here to tell you, friend, everything is getting ready. Everything is under preparation. Everything is close and near at hand. And what I want to know is, are you ready to miss it? The Bible makes it plain that the people who are God's people will be delivered from the wrath to come. They will not be here during that crazy, dark, miserable period. I always enjoyed preaching from the book of Malachi because it has one of the most beautiful statements about this you can imagine. Listen to this. Then they that feared the Lord and that spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it and wrote a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them. Notice that. Malachi, Old Testament prophet, the last of the Old Testament prophets, right before John the Baptist, well, some 300-400 years before John the Baptist, but the last of them before John the Baptist. And he made it plain that they shall be spared. Those that make up the book of remembrance, those that he calls them very specifically, he says, my jewels, the bride of Christ is the jewels of the Lord. That rapture is about to happen and I'll be gone. If it takes place before 2 o'clock today, I will suddenly disappear from this room. I will suddenly disappear. You'll probably see some semblance of my clothes. Maybe you can see over the desk, laying in this chair, and I'll be gone. My wife in there will be gone. Miss Judy will be gone. We are talking about the day at hand, my friend. We're talking about the day at hand. And I don't know how you, what you expect to do, how you expect to miss this. But I'm telling you, if you miss the rapture, don't take the mark. Can you hear that? If you miss the rapture, I beg of you for your sake and because I love you, don't take that mark. Well, let me take a call here, and let me give you the numbers. I can give the number 704-391-0588, 704-391-0588, 704-391-0588, the toll-free 1-800-338-7884, and you're on the air. May I help you, please? Well, I thought you should be on the air, and I'm very sorry. That was my fault. You're on the air now.
Yeah, okay. I'm hoping, I'd love to hear people. You know, you preachers have a problem of the members going to sleep in the pew. I think we got the first problem now. We got too many preachers that are asleep.
You can say that for sure.
And the church-going world, I like your phrase, the church world, because I can't call all these people Christians because they violate every tenet of the Christian faith. But I'm hoping I'll scare somebody that's riding down the road listening to this. Maybe they're unsaved, or maybe they're a churchgoer, or maybe they're a lukewarm Christian. But I'm going to tell you how close we are. There's a lady right now. She's a beautiful woman. She's got cancer. She's traveling all over the place. And when she was a little girl in the 1970s, her grandmother had a farm up in Ohio, went to Kroger's and came back, and she sat at the table and she said, "Kathy, one day you won't need money to buy groceries." And she explained to her what was in Revelation 13 about the mark of the beast. And she said, "Kathy, don't ever take that mark." So her grandmother died a year or two later. And I don't know whether this woman went to church or anything, but she went to Harvard. She was extremely well educated. And in 1999, something hit her when she found out that every single product made in the manufacturer in the world had some identification mark on it. She got involved in the invasion of privacy. Well, just a few years ago, she went down to Florida because they were going to mark. They were going to put an RFID chip, a bunch of senior citizens in a retirement center or a nursing home down in Florida. So she contacted ministers of various denominations to try to get them to show up, and they conducted a protest, and she prevented this from happening. Mm. Pretty close to this thing being implemented.
Well, it's really being implemented in a lot of places already.
Yeah.
I mean, parents are told, if you have this chip put in your child, and they get lost in a store, wherever, somebody kidnaps them, all you got to do is call the police, and we can go exactly where they are. Well, we know that's true, because going down the road at any given time, I will cut on my own star to get direction to somebody's house, and they will tell me exactly where I am. They can give me the number of the street I am on and the number of the house, if there's one there, at any moment that I call OnStar.
I'm going to tell you, the devil's crowd has got some technology out there. A lot of
it is breathtaking.
Yeah. So in a way, it's a wonderful time to be alive, but there's coming. This persecution is right at the door.
It's growing worse every day. And what the vice president said about Christians being offensive, I tried to say that word a while ago, just by being a Bible-believing Christian. And he used that word, Bible-believing Christian. You are automatically offensive to Muslims and homosexuals and transgenders and lesbians. And now if the vice president would publicly say that, what is he trying to suggest?
Well, we already know when they start talking like that, all you have is recent history to look at. When they start talking like that, it's just a few years down the road when they just start full-blown implementing, and And the church basically shrugged their shoulders and...
Let me tell everybody listening, go on your internet and just put in there the name of your vice president and put in there something about Bible-believing Christians. And it will bring it right up on your screen. I mean, I did it. And it's right there. I don't know how many articles there were, but there was a lot of information about it. Let me tell you something I heard the other day. You can buy now a little instrument in your home with a bunch of connections to it, and anything that you might lose, like you might misplace your watch or you might misplace your phone, and you put this little piece on your phone or on your watch, and if you lose it at any given time, all you got to do is pick up your machine, and it will tell you right where it's at.
We need a Holy Ghost revival. It's going on overseas, but we're not seeing it right here. This has got to be one of the most wicked nations on the face of the earth for the kind of stuff that we tolerate day after day after day.
All of it in the sake of individual privacy. Individual rights. The people that in San Jose who just did the marching and all the wickedness and the evil, and the mayor of the town took a stand for him. Or for them, I should say, and against Donald Trump. I'm amazed at what's happening. And, you know, I'm really beginning to wonder what is going to happen between now and November. I have some doubts that we will ever get to that election with the people who are now the prime persons running for the office.
Well, the death of the Supreme Court Justice Scalia ought to have people doing cartwheels out in the street, the way that thing was done.
Yeah, absolutely, that man was eliminated. I believe that with all of my heart. And I believe any one of us could be eliminated on any given day now if we become a problem tonight. Listen, I got to go. I thank you for calling. And get ready, brother. Walk with Jesus.
Praise the Lord.
Walk with him. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Mr. Chambers?
Yes.
This is David Snyder. I'd like to have a Bible study with you if I could. Is that possible?
A Bible study with me?
Yeah.
You can come and hear me anytime you want to, sir.
Well, good. I'd like to show you.
No. You're not going to show me anything. See, I know what...
I like to turn to the scripture.
I do it all the time.
In Matthew 24, that says we are going to be here during the Great Tribulation.
I'm not going to let you say another word about it because you are wrong. I'm not going to let you argue this subject. I've had people like you arguing against the pre-trib rapture for a long time, and the Bible is plain, brother, plain. I love you. Thank you for calling. Keep listening. Now, you know, friend, we are living in a day when nothing is hated like the pre-trib rapture. I don't know why these people hate it so bad, but I could take you to so many verses in this Bible and just prove to you. Now, let me tell you, give me a call. I want to hear from you. 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. The toll-free number is 1-800-338-7884. Email jrc@paulcreek.org. jrc@paulcreek.org. I really hate to have to move quickly from people who are just determined to preach their false doctrine that the rapture is not a pre-trib event. I can't let them do it because I'm accountable to you that are listening to me. I've got an audience all the way to every part of this world, Australia. I mean, I've got an audience all over this globe, and we finally got our email straight yesterday. We have almost 30,000 good, solid emails, but there's been a question because we had so many bad ones that had got infiltrated into our system, and they were messing us up, so we had to have it cleansed. It cost me, I think, about $700, and I need somebody to help me pay for that, but we have to have it cleansed, and either today or Monday our emails will go out again. I'm responsible to you people, and I want you to get this post that will go out either today or Monday, whichever moment it's ready, and it will be mailed to those who don't have an email. All you got to do is call 1-800-338-7884, and we will do our best to take care of you. Now I got a call waiting, so let me take that. You're on the air. May I help you, please? Nope, not ready it for me. Let me know, ladies, if it gets ready. Listen, friend, we are so near that coming of the Lord. It is no way to grasp it. So, no way. And the preacher, oh, I want to give you a scripture. I just read one of them. Did you hear that? And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. Now notice this. And I will spare them. I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that loveth him. I will spare them. Then shall ye return. That goes into us coming back at the end of the 7 years. That's Malachi chapter 3, verses 16, 17, 18. I can give you so many scriptures that prove the pre-trib rapture. It's not even a questionable to a solid Bible-believing person. It can't be. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes, Reverend Chambers. I was just calling just to say that the children of God, Bible says the children of God, are not called to wrath.
And that's what it says. We are not appointed to wrath.
Right, and that and when the Christ, when tribulation starts, that's God's wrath.
That's exactly right. You see, people misunderstand tribulation. There are tribulations that everybody has in their Christian life. There are many people suffering great tribulation right now. But the great tribulation is not tribulation like I have or you have in the world. It's God's wrath. It's God's outpouring of His judgment. That's what the great tribulation is. And when people understand that, then it's not hard to distinguish between the two.
Uh-huh.
Thank you, my friend. You have a further question?
Yes, I did. You know something, if you're driving down the road and you see a barrier, a long barrier running along with the lanes, and you start looking at that barrier, you could possibly hear it. That's just like if somebody wants to go through the tribulation, they want it bad enough, they might get it. I don't want to go through it.
Well, the Bible says, unto them that look for him shall he appear. A person who doesn't believe in the pre-tribulation rapture is not looking for him. So that is my opinion, is that they will not go. If they're not looking for him, how's he going to take somebody somewhere that if they don't want to go? God's never been one who forces himself on anybody. And if there's people who don't want to go in the rapture, they want to stay here and go through the tribulation, I think God's going to let them.
You can absolutely be right, but my eyes and my heart and my mind is set on that rapture, and I'm waiting.
Me too. Oh, I'm waiting. I'm waiting. I'm waiting. Thank you, friend, and God bless you. Grab your phone, people. Let's hear from every one of you. I don't want anybody missing an answer. And please don't feel bad at me, because I don't let someone come on this radio and start debating that the pre-trib rapture is not pre-trib, but they want to give their side and their opinion. And I've been on 40-some years. I allowed a little of that in the early years. Then I realized there's no profit in that. I'm preaching you the truth. I'm not going to spend my time with error. I have been through this Bible with a fine-tooth comb. You remember hearing that statement? A fine-tooth comb. And nothing is more beautiful than the fact that we will be delivered from the wrath to come. We will be delivered from the wrath to come. Now grab your phone, 1-800-338-7884, 704-391-0588. 0588, and the email is JRC now, JRC@paulcreek.org. Let me see if there's any emails that may have come in here. I should have had that on, and I didn't, and so I'm sorry. You'll forgive me, I know. Let's give a little chance here. If there's any emails, I will be glad to answer them. But listen, we know that this mark of the beast is already technologically ready. We know that the world is wanting. The world is wanting this kind of security. You know that you can see many reasons everywhere that somehow that's got to come about. and how simple they feel it would be if they can know all about every individual. And so you walk into the airport, you cross through a scanner, and it tells them you, it gives them your passport number, it gives them everything about you, even your physical condition. And so they can let you right through. They already are created a special class of people that can go in and out of the airport very, very easily. I'm here to tell you, friend, the security of it is something that the world is really after. And I do understand them needing that security, but I'm not going to take their mark. They're not going to put a chip under my forehead or in my right hand. I'm not going to do it. You say, what are you going to do? I can't tell you how bad it's going to get before that rapture. I'm here to warn you. If you think you're just going to escape and it's not going to be a difficulty, I warn you. I warn you, don't just be idle-minded about it. I don't know how bad it's going to get, but you better get ready to suffer. You better get ready to take it on the chin, my friend, whatever comes down the pipes. Now, on the air, may I help you, please?
Hey, Brother Chambers. There's a beautiful illustration of the pre-tree of rapture over there in the Old Testament when Abraham went to God and he said, God, surely you would not destroy a city with 50 righteous. Then he went down to 40, and he went down to 30, and he finally got down to 10.
Right.
And God went over there and yanked up Lot. Lot didn't want to leave, and his wife certainly didn't want to leave, but he yanked them up and got them out.
But did you remember? Now, you said the Lord yanked them up. The Bible said, God said to Lot, I can do nothing until you're out of here. The angel, rather. I can do nothing until you're out of here. Lot had to leave on his own. And the angel told him, I can do nothing until you're out of here. So there is no question, if God couldn't destroy Sodom and Gomorrah until that compromising man called Lot was out of that city, how could he destroy the great bride of Christ, where there are multiplied men and women all over this globe who walk with Christ, who love him with all their heart? They are faithful to him. How could he allow them to go through this hellish treatment if he wouldn't allow Lot?
That's right, and after Revelation 4:1, there is no Christians giving out any gospel anywhere. There's no mention of the church.
The church is never named except one time at the very end of Revelation, and it's a reminder of what happened earlier. It is just recalling how important they are. You are exactly right. The church disappears after chapter 3 and never appears in Revelation again. And the reason it disappears is so we up there with him. You know what we're called after Revelation 3? We're called elders. Elders. Well, what do elders do? They help him rule. We actually are a part of all the transactions of the book of Revelation. Isn't that beautiful?
Oh, I think it's wonderful. I just praise him every day.
Thank you.
He's my old wicked soul.
God bless your heart. I am so glad you called. And bless your heart. I just pray everybody out there will hear us today and get ready to go. Are you ready?
Right.
Are you ready?
I'm looking forward to it. I've been anxious. I'm anxiously waiting.
Me too. Passionately waiting. God bless you. Thank you. And God bless your heart. And you on the air. May I help you, please?
Yeah, Brother Tammy, you know, talking about ship. I just heard 2 days ago on Christian a talk show on television that the chip is supposed to be put into the flesh of Americans starting 2017.
I've read that I don't know how many times.
Yeah, and the deal is if the current people that are running the White House, that's there now, they will not stop it. You can believe that. They won't do anything.
If Hillary gets the presidency, well, she will not. I'm going to tell you right now, with all my heart, I believe the Lord has proven in my heart that she will not become the president. But if she could, I promise you, everything that Obama has done, she will double down.
That's exactly right. I hope you're right. I really do.
I hope I'm right too, brother. I sure do. But it's a dangerous hour. I do, though, sometimes wonder if we'll even get to November. I wonder if Donald Trump can escape the wrath of so many and even survive until November. Everybody in America ought to be praying for God to give us the person he's chosen and for God to protect that person so that nobody can destroy them.
That's exactly right. Well, I just got one other thing, and you
okay.
can on it. Talking about the pre-trib rapture, is a peanut a type of the church being raptured out before the that was before the flood came? You know, God took him off the earth, carried him to heaven. Isn't that the type of the rapture?
Absolutely. The Bible is full of types, all the way from the flood, Noah's day, all through the scripture. When judgment was coming, God always gave his people a chance to escape. Did you know that when Jerusalem was destroyed in A.D. 70, have you ever read about one of the apostles or one of anybody that was a Christian being destroyed?
Right.
Have you ever heard of any?
No, sir.
Did you know they had moved all to Tarsus? I'm sorry, to Antioch? Did you know the church had moved to Antioch? When I was in Turkey about 6 weeks ago, I went to the first church that was ever established in A.D. 40. It was in Antioch. It was in a mountain, side of a mountain, and it was called St. Peter's Cave Church. I went in it. They had a tunnel dug out through the back to escape when the enemy would come and try to arrest them. And it was the first church. It was identified as being established in A.D. 40. The church had moved from Jerusalem to Antioch before A.D. 70 and escaped the great destruction of Jerusalem.
And well, you know, the scripture says that they were first called Christians at Antioch.
Exactly. I'm writing the book, as you know, on the life of Apostle Paul. I am working right now on chapter 50. And in chapter 50, Paul has just finished the great revival on the Isle of Cyprus, him and Barnabas, and John Mark was still with them. They then go up to Pega, I believe it's called, on the coast. The coast of the mainland, and of course I hadn't started there with the next chapter, but you're talking about breathtaking. Everybody in the world who's a Christian ought to have this book on Apostle Paul when I finish. I'm in about chapter 50. I've got somewhere between 30 and 40 more chapters. They're all kind of small, so the person can read a chapter, you know, in a break time at their job, or you know, at whatever. And it really is a breathtaking picture. And you just said it right. They were called Christians first at Antioch. Do you know when Apostle Paul's name was changed from Saul to Paul? It was on the Isle of Cyprus when he had finished. Remember that man named Bar-Jesus who tried to stop Sergius Paulus from becoming a Christian? And Paul rebuked him and turned him blind. And he was blind for a season. And then Sergius Paulus got saved.
Yes, sir.
And Sergius Paulus was actually kin to Paul because the last name of Paul was Paulus. And the last name of Sergius was Paulus. And that's only, say, 150 miles apart. And so I believe they were of kinship.
Yes, sir.
God bless you.
I'll be looking forward for when that book comes out.
Oh, I'm trying to finish it by the end of June, but I don't think I'm going to make it. It's probably going to be in July. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes, Pastor. Concerning the Tower of Babel, it says in Genesis 11:6, the Lord said, if as one people speaking the same language they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan will be impossible for them.
And God stopped it.
Yes, sir. And the thing is that he stopped technology back then, but we put a man on the moon. We have jet aircraft that's shrinking our world.
But you give a little time, my brother, and God's going to stop technology again because revelation supersedes technology. Remember that word, revelation supersedes technology. Revelation supersedes technology. You got it?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. I love you, friend. Hey, call us quickly, 1-800-338-7804. 704-391-0588. I'm trying to see if I have any emails here. Sometimes I do and sometimes I don't, all right? Well, I'm at the wrong place. Can you believe that? Would I make a mistake like that? Yes, I would. Yes, I would. Let me read this one. Will the mark of the beast be a physical or a spiritual mark? It will be both. It will be physical. P The devil wants you identified as belonging to him. Do you understand that? And so it'll be a physical mark that you will see. It will be visible. It will also be a spiritual mark because it will be a surrender of your will to Satan, to this new God and this new Christ and this new spirit. So you will have a born again experience in the devil. Just like a person is born again to Jesus Christ, when a person takes this mark, they will be born again to the devil. They will be born again. They will become possessed with Satan's spirit rather than as a Christian becomes possessed with God's spirit. So it's going to be spiritual and it's going to be physical. It's going to be visible. It's going to be invisible, both at the same time. Because when you go into a store, they won't look for the mark because you could imitate the mark. But they will look for the signal that will come from the little chip. And I think it does have to require a chip. Got that? Okay. Also, will the seal of God on the tribulation saints be a physical or a spiritual seal? Again, it will be both. They'll have a transformed heart, and they'll have a sign that says to the world, this one does not belong to the devil, this one belongs to God. And there will be times he will literally protect those with a physical seal that belong to God. Oh, I'm telling you, the things that are coming are overwhelming. They really are. Any more emails here? Let me try to look. Don't think I have any more, but I'm always trying to be certain. Don't want to miss anybody. All right, send us your email or call us 1-800-338-7884. The lines are open. I want to hear from you. Now, everybody out there needs to get this article. It is, what is the mark of the Antichrist? What is the mark? You need this article. It's very, very, very vivid, very, very full, and it will give you a picture. It will give you a picture. Along with that, you can order a CD of this broadcast. You can order a CD of this broadcast, okay? If you'd like to have a CD, you could actually order a DVD of this broadcast, but I don't know how to make them yet. I hadn't learned that, but somebody could make it for me. But I want you to get all of this in your heart. I want your churches to start having Bible studies on Revelation chapter 14 and show people that there is no forgiveness if you take the mark of the beast. You have given your life to Satan. How could you be forgiven? It isn't just a mark. It's the selling of your soul. It's the giving up of your soul for the benefit of living, of buying, of selling. See, little babies will only go in the rapture if mama or daddy one is a genuine Bible-believing Christian. A Bible-believing mother will take her little babies with her. A Bible-believing father will take his little babies with him. This has got to be Bible-believing now, living by the Bible. This has got to be truly born-again people. We're not talking about people who profess Christ. We got churches full of people who sit on pews that have never been born again. They have no walk with Christ. There's a multitude of people out there. They used to be full of the Holy Spirit. They used to live a godly life. They used to be set apart to God. And they have lost their first love. They are nothing now but just a remembrance of yesteryear. You know, they have no walk with God. They're not ready to go. They're actually backslid. They have turned away from Christ. And the Bible is full of those. I preached a sermon last week on why men go back. That's on the internet. It's also will be on YouTube probably before today's over. You can go to our internet, paulcreek.org, and listen to that sermon. I'll watch that sermon. Our sermons are more and more being watched by people all over the world. We're putting several numbers of them on YouTube, but they're on our internet. So all you got to do is go to paulcreek.org and go on the front page. You'll see me in a pulpit. Click on that, and it'll take you to a list of sermons, one after the other. You can either watch them or listen to them anywhere in the world, okay? You are bound to get yourself ready. I beg of you to get yourself ready. Now, please grab your phone. I want to spend these last 18 minutes really talking this wonderful truth to you. If you need any more scripture, there are so many. Go if you would like to read a scripture that would be a blessing to you, go to Isaiah 26. Isaiah 26. I'm going backwards and forward from one side of it to the other. let me try to go directly to it. Isaiah 26. Here we are. It says, "Thy dead men shall live. together with my dead body? Shall they awake? Listen, awake, arise, awake and sing, ye dust of the earth. Your dust, for thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out their dead. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chamber, and shut the door about thee. Hide thyself, if it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpassed. Now, that's Isaiah 26, verses 19, 20, 21. It says it plain. Hide thyself. Go into this chamber where the Lord has provided a hiding place, and shut the door behind thee, and hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment until the indignation be overpassed. You know, I preach on the pre-trib rapture sometimes at places, and if I have a chance, I'm going to be there 2 or 3 days. I will challenge everybody that knows anybody in the world that doesn't believe in the pre-trib rapture, and I will say to them, bring them tomorrow night, and I will prove to them the pre-trib rapture. Prove to them the pre-trib rapture. And I've done this in hotels. I've done this in churches. And I've never had a person come up to me when I finished after about a good hour of teaching and say to me anything other than, you've convinced me. You've convinced me. Because I'm telling you, the Bible is convincing. All you got to do is take all of this Bible, and it's convincing. I'm going to Oklahoma in September to be with my dear friend Bruce Gans. We're having a special rally there. 3 nights, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I think there's something like 15, 16, 17 of September. Maybe it's 16, 17, 18. But right in there, those days. And I'll be at that church in Bartlesville, Oklahoma. And 3 nights, I'm going to preach on the rapture. And 3 nights, I'm going to prove to everybody there the rapture is biblical to the ultimate degree. And there's no way to be a Bible-believing Christian and not believe in the rapture. Pre-trib rapture. Do you hear me? There is no way. Now, the lines are open. I don't know why you're not calling. I mean, I hope I've got you so stirred up and so hungry and so thirsty, but I want your calls. I want to hear from you. How many of you out there, you know you're ready to go? Could I have a few calls and just say, Reverend Chambers, I believe in the pre-trib rapture and I'm ready. And how many of you know anything about these marks that are coming? This little chip to identify. Oh, it sounds so wonderful that everybody can have this little chip. And so if daddy gets Alzheimer's and you don't know where he is, all you got to do is cut on the right little piece of equipment and it'll take you right to him. I mean, every kind of security you can name will be available in that chip. Every kind of security. Now, somebody will create a false one. Somebody will create a imitation. I'm sure of that. I mean, the devil is always on the mark to do something evil. But I'm telling you, it's coming. And you and I don't want it. We're not going to take it. I know. If you're a Bible-believing Christian, you're not going to let them put a chip in you. And you're certainly not going to put a mark upon your forehead, because that would identify you with the Antichrist. But then the real saints of God, the ready saints of God, are going to go in that rapture. But now listen to me. As soon as that rapture's over, as soon as the saints are out of here, and all hell breaks loose down here, the world is going to know that the rapture has occurred. The world is going to know it. There is no way that almost anybody in this world will not get the message that the rapture has occurred. And once they get that message, there are going to be multiple people who are going to turn to Christ. The Bible makes it plain that there is going to be one great multitude. All you got to do is go to Revelation 7 and you can read of this great multitude who come up out. I mean, the Bible actually says, I mean, John is asked the question. I think this is one of the most, the Bible is so beautiful and it's so plain, and there's no reason for nobody to be so dumb that they don't get the truth. But I'm sorry to say, there's a lot of people that will never get the truth, because they're not going to listen to nobody else. They're too smart to listen to anybody. They're too smart to listen to anybody. I'm trying to take you, if I can find the right verse here, in the book of Revelation chapter 7. He says, and who are these? Revelation? Oh, I'm in Acts. Well, why was I looking in Acts? Come on, Reverend Chambers. You're not that dumb. Hey, don't you say that. I'm just, here sitting here trying to get you everything that I know is so important for you to hear. Revelation chapter 7, I want to mention, and the wind, a fan is blowing my leaves, so please forgive me. After this, I looked, and behold, a great multitude. And he talks about them. Listen to this. And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. See, so there's a multitude. Revelation 7 and 14. A multitude that come up out of the tribulation. Because they missed it. They saw it had happened. And they got on their face and they got right with God. They washed themselves in the blood of the Lamb, the Bible says. And so now we can see why these people will be faced with that mark of the beast. They'll be faced with that Antichrist. I can almost picture, now listen to me, I can almost picture, then I'll come back to the phones. I can almost picture a little girl, let's say she's 14. She's lived careless and missed the rapture, of course, and all of a sudden she realizes she's missed the rapture and she gets right with God. I mean, she gets right with God. And then the Antichrist sends one of his goons, and there'll be goons everywhere. One of those goons will go and kidnap her. They'll take her somewhere and give her a chance to repent and take the mark and let them put the image of Satan on their forehead. But she's going to say, no, I am not going to take that mark. I'll be lost forever. And so she keeps resisting. And finally, this goon rapes her. He molests her. He sodomizes her. He does every dark thing he can do to her. And if she keeps resisting, he will kill her. But maybe, and in many cases this could happen, they will not be able to resist. So they'll take the mark and be turned into a devil and be lost forever. Can you imagine that happening to millions and millions of people during that tribulation period? I've got 6 grandbabies. Not a one of them are ready for the rapture. I do not understand it. It blows my mind. I can hardly talk about it. It blows my mind. It really does. And I can't get through to them. They know if they come around Papa, he's going to give them the word. He's going to show them he loves them. Tears might likely be on my cheeks for them. And I'm doing my best. But if Jesus would come, they've got to get saved in that tribulation period. Somebody said, would you stay to help them? No, I'm not going to stay to help them because I wouldn't last for 2 days, 2 hours. I mean, they would eliminate me from helping anybody. I would try whatever time I had, but I'm not going to miss it, friend. I'm going. I'm going to live right. I'm going. I'm leaving here. Oh, I believe I got a call waiting on me. Let me go here. Are you on the air? May I help you, please?
Hi.
Hey.
I love the subject you're on today on the rapture, and I don't know. I missed part of the program, but
I'm really talking about the mark of the beast and the chip that's going to be used with that mark.
Okay. I didn't hear the first part of your program.
I wish you had.
Okay. I was just thinking about that as far as the rapture, though, those scriptures in Titus, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Yes.
That's a wonderful scripture. I have a question.
Good. I will answer it.
Okay. I have a son-in-law who professes Jesus Christ, claims to be born again, but he's into Calvinism. He went to Moody Bible College, and he tells me that he's very worried about my condition, whether I'm saved because I believe in the King James Bible. And he
are you born again?
Yes, yes.
Why would he question that? Do you live right?
Yes.
Oh, I'm just asking to say, why would he question because you're not a Calvinist? Calvinism is one of the darkest doctrines. The devil, we don't even need the devil if you've got Calvinism, because nobody's going to be lost that God has ordained to be saved, and nobody can be saved that God is ordained to be lost. And so what good is the devil?
Right. So I was just wondering about the scriptures in Galatians, you know, where it says that though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than what which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. So these men like him that profess Jesus Christ, but they believe in another doctrine like Calvinism, are they going to heaven or are
That is a good question, and I'm going to tell you right now, I think it's a question that there is some that will not, and there may be some that do. You know, some people, that's all they've ever heard. And they didn't come to it by reading the Bible. They were born into it, and it's just kind of crabbing out their throat, and they really love the Lord, and they're really trying to live a clean, godly life. They've been born again. A person is born again, they're going to go to heaven. If a person is born again and live right, they're going to go to heaven. If a person is born again and live according to the Bible, they're going to go to heaven. They're going to go in that rapture. If he's not born again and he's not living right, he's not going to go. And many Calvinists, they depend on them being elected rather than on them being born again.
Okay.
And if they just believe in being elected and they've never been born again, they're going to be lost.
He appears to be born again. He does live. He appears to be living right. I mean, I'm not with him all the time. But.
Does he have any witness of the Spirit in him? Does he ever talk about Jesus revealing himself to him and having these great prayer times where the Holy Spirit just comes in his glory? Is any of that part of his life?
I've never heard any of that.
You're probably talking about just a religious man that's never been born again. When you really find Christ and he takes over your life, it's real. It is so real that you cannot doubt it. And it's so real that nobody else around you can doubt it. And if you cannot know from a witness of the Spirit that he's born again, he probably is not.
Do you think people are like him that will only read an ESV or an NIV are being deceived by the Bibles they're using?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Those Bibles are corrupted. The NIV is not a translation. It's called a transliteration. That means the people who translated put their opinion of a given verse. What did that verse mean in their opinion? So they transliterate it to fit their opinion. And there were many Calvinists involved. And the NIV is a pro-Calvinist Bible. Very much pro-Calvinist. I doubt you could find a Calvinist that would believe in the King James Bible. Because the NIV really fits their theology.
Okay, well, he also told me that if I listen to any sermon by any King James preacher, that I certainly didn't have any spirit of discernment.
Well, then you just ought to turn around and say, if you listen to any preacher who's a Calvinist, you don't have any spirit of discernment. So be plain with him. Tell him exactly what you think and what you're saying to me, and don't beat around the bush with him.
Okay.
He's going to go to hell.
Yeah, I don't want to cause a whole lot of strife with him. He's my son-in-law.
Well, that would be... Here I am. Last week, one of my dearest son-in-laws, grandsons, had a friend with him from England. And he just sat at my table and plainly said, I don't believe nothing. And it blew my mind. Bless his heart. He's as lost can be, and he don't want to hear nothing about it. And I make them uncomfortable when they come to my house.
Yeah, well, I made him uncomfortable last weekend when I...
Well, don't you quit making him uncomfortable, okay?
Okay, that's what I needed to know.
Yeah, you don't quit making him uncomfortable. You, if you're a witness for Jesus, the world needs to know it. And your life with Christ ought to cause people to be uncomfortable when they're around you.
Okay. All right.
Go for it. God bless your heart. I'm thrilled with your testimony. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Well, good afternoon, Dr. James. How are you doing, sir?
I am so wonderful. I'm sitting here bouncing.
Amen, amen. Listen, I listened to your program about the mark of the beast.
Yes.
There are a lot of things in the world that I don't know who is the beast or where he came from. But we got to look at this thing, you know what I mean? And the trip on the phone here, I don't know what's going on in this world today, Dr. James.
Well, you got to understand, young man, that the world is only doing what it seems appropriate to them. They know nothing about God. They won't read the Bible. They don't believe the book of Revelation. So they're just trying to protect things, and they don't know what they're doing. And you and I just have to live by the Bible and resist all of these worldly things and walk with the Lord. That's all I know to tell you.
You know, that's true. I love the Bible. I love the way it's came out the door. And God be the glory. I love the Bible.
Thank you, brother. I love you, and thank you for calling me today, okay? God bless you. Now, call quickly. I've got about 3 minutes here. Let me tell you, I need your help. I really do need your help. We've had to go through our whole email. It's supposed to be perfected now. Had to spend nearly $1,000. I don't have it. I need you to help me with it. Plus, the summer months upon me, I need $20,000 to make it through the summer. Will you help me? I need about 20 of you to send me $1,000 immediately, or 200 to send $100. But it would be easier for me to get 20 to send 1,000. But whatever you can send, everybody out there, be a part of a program like this. Do you realize I'm one of the few that's still standing up for all these things? Do you realize how little you are hearing of these great Bible truths? This is just his Bible. And Billy Graham preached this. His son Franklin preaches this. This is the word of God, my friend. And Jesus is coming. Coming any minute. And if you're not ready, I beg of you to get ready now. I hope you'll come tomorrow. I want you to hear me preach the holy book. I promise you I'll do my best to help you know that you're right with God before that service is over. Right here in the sanctuary, you see it behind me. We are just a Bible-believing church full of the Holy Spirit. And excited about the coming of the Lord. Having a baptism in the morning after the service. If you need to be baptized, call me. Don't just come. Call me so I make sure you understand what I would expect for a person to be baptized. We are excited to help people get ready to meet the Lord. He's coming. His coming is at the door. Now, I've got time for one more call. One more call. Grab your phone, 1-800-338-7884. Let me take a moment here and see if I can get to the emails. I have to be so careful. I can really make a mess if I don't be careful. All right, don't have another email. Okay, it's been a delight to have this great program with you today. I'm telling you, we have dealt with things that are right on target. Do you understand? Right on target. I'm trying to see where I'm at here. Don't have a little time. The number to call, 1-800-338-7884. 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. Now, my friend, I'm telling you, Jesus is coming. And he's coming very soon. Very soon. And I'm telling you, we're right at the moment of that glorious bridal moment. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm excited. I'm getting ready to go. Call me now, 1-800-338-7804. 704-391-0588. 1-800-338-7884. You'll see it on the screen. I love you. I love you. I love you. Do you know I love you and bless your heart?
I look around me, and I see prophecies fulfilled every day, and the signs of the times, they're appearing everywhere. I can almost my Father, as he says, son, go get my children, and at the midnight cry, the bride of Christ will rise. When steps on a cloud to call God's children, the dead in Christ shall rise to meet him in the air. And then oh, the midnight cry. Oh, and at the midnight cry. At the midnight cry.